Okay. All right, let's continue in worship with prayer. Gracious God, as we turn to the scriptures, we pray to be open to your spirit as it guides and leads us this day. We ask all these prayers through your son's name. Amen. Today we are wrapping up our series on the New Testament book of James. We've heard some really important instructions from James about how we're called to live our lives. We've heard about the importance of listening over speaking. We've heard about putting our words into action. We've heard about not showing favoritism and about how our words can be a blessing and how they can also be a curse. Today we're moving into the fifth and final chapter of James, and we're going to be reading the second part of the fifth chapter. But I would be negligent if I also did not highlight what's in the first part of the fifth chapter of James. James begins the fifth chapter of his letter or his sermon with very harsh words about people who treat their employees unfairly. James calls out rich people who put large sums of money in investments while they treat and underpay their employees. James says that the cries of the harvesters have been heard at the ears of the Lord. So if you think that God approves of wealthy business owners who drive around in expensive cars with "In God We Trust" on their license plates, who make large charitable donations, but who take advantage of their employees, if you think that's okay, then James would say that is wrong. James would say that becoming wealthy while underpaying employees is morally bankrupt. So if you want biblical support for fighting for justice for low-wage workers against corporate greed, James 5 is going to give you all the evidence that you need for that. So James next invites his hearers to be patient like a farmer waiting on a crop to get to harvest. Any of us who have grown up in farm families knows all too well about patience, about how you plant a crop in the field, but then you have to wait a long time before you see any financial return on your investment. Patience is a priority. And James says that we must be patient like a farmer. And then James moves into our reading for today, which will come from verses 13 through 20. So let us listen for the word of our Lord from James chapter 5, 13 through 20.
Good morning. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayers of righteousness is the powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you from the truth and is brought back by it, backed by another. You should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner soul from the death and will cover the multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
The ending of James has been used in dangerous ways by lots of folks today. The words about how if any one of you wanders from the truth and then is brought back to you, is brought back, then you save that sinner's soul from death. And that will cover a multitude of sins. It's from scripture like this that we get the phrase from many Christians that hate the sin but love the sinner. James has been used to create the belief system that Christians need to correct the behavior of others because you are protecting their souls from damnation. The problem here is that this attitude of hating the sin but loving the sinner is a very judgmental attitude, because the only sin that we hate is the sin of another. Hating the sin but loving the sinner is about me judging you. It's about me telling you what you are doing wrong. I'm the one in power, and you are the one that need to listen to me. But James is saying something different. James is saying that we need to bring our own sin before God. We do not need to be so focused on someone else and their sins. We need to focus on our own sins and do what we need to participate in God's healing. Amen. We need to listen to others if they do tell us what may be ways that we are harming ourselves. We need to listen to what others may be saying. But ultimately, we need to examine our own brokenness from not following God's will for our lives. In our reading this morning, James draws attention to the ones who are suffering and those who are sick. James' advice is for the elders of the church to gather together and to pray over the sick and to anoint them with oil. Now, oil was used during this period for medicinal purposes, but James adds a spiritual element. It is from this scripture that we get our practice today of using oil as a way of affirming Christ's healing. We use oil in Ash Wednesday services, and we use oil in healing and wholeness services. This oil is a visible sign of God's healing through Christ. James's words are addressed to the followers of Christ to pay attention to the sick and suffering in their community, to offer encouragement, to offer prayer, to gather with the elders and offer visible signs that you are helping others to heal. Now, many of us hear stories of COVID deaths and suffering, but most of us are pretty isolated from the real pain and the real trauma. It's ravaging our community, our nation, and our world. But most of us are not the ones who are dealing firsthand with the sick and the suffering. That would be our medical providers. When I hear James talk about caring for the sick and suffering by offering prayers and tangible presence, I cannot help but think about the medical staffs who are in the hospitals right now while we are gathered in worship, who are caring for those who are sick and suffering. While many of us complain about the uncomfortableness of masks or maybe share conspiracy theories about why we shouldn't be vaccinated, medical professionals are caring for our neighbors who are suffering and they are sick. I reached out to Maria Fergus, who is an ICU nurse at Springs Hospital in Lancaster. I asked her to share what it is like to do what she does during this time of COVID. She wrote back to me, and Marie shared these words. She said, "November, December, and January were hellish. We saw too much death, including multiple family members of nurses. Then the vaccine became available and the number started to decrease. It was such a relief after all of the sadness and loss to see things beginning to change." She says, "My therapist kept asking me how I was coping with so much trauma, and I told her I wasn't dealing with it. I was simply putting one foot in front of the other. Now I know that wasn't the time to deal with the trauma, because it wasn't over. A little over 2 months ago, we started seeing cases rising again here in Lancaster Hospital. This week we have lost three. Another is perilously close. One of the patients we lost was the second in his family to die. I cried when I heard it, even though I already knew the writing was on the wall. He was such a nice, funny person. And he wrote a letter to his wife before they put him on the vent that said that she was the love of his life. He also stated he didn't think he would come off the vent alive. And unfortunately, he was correct. Maria sent me a message yesterday, and she said, "Since I wrote that email to you last month, things have gotten worse." James, in our reading today, says that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. James says that if there are any among us who are suffering, that we should pray. But James also says earlier in his letter to not just be people of words, but to be people of action. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Amen. So what are we doing for those suffering right now? What are we doing to offer support and encouragement to the many frontline workers who are caring for these patients? I understand that nurses like Marie are required to work 6 days a week now because of staffing shortages. What does that do to their families, like Jennifer back here? I wonder if James is pushing us in this church to put our resources into action to provide support and encouragement to our frontline workers, to do what we can with cards, with maybe some food, maybe some words of support, that when they enter the hospital or they return home after 12-hour shifts, that they are reminded that someone cares about what they have done that day. COVID and our low vaccination rates here in South Carolina impact many lives. And maybe instead of screaming about freedoms, maybe we need to put our words into action. You know, I know some nurses and I know some other frontline workers who need to hear some words and who needs to see some actions of grace and support. For they are suffering too. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we pray to not isolate ourselves from the pain around us, but instead to engage, to put our words into action, to pray and to respond to the words that we hear. Holy God, we lift up prayers of thanksgiving for James and his challenges to his community, then, and his challenges and insights to our community today. We lift up all these prayers through your Son's name. Amen.